All right, here we go. Today is Tuesday, April 27th. We are a little bit more than 48 hours away from the draft. Almost there. It seems like time is slowing down though in real time. You know, yesterday the world was set on fire. You know, one thing that's pretty cool, just kind of real quick, is, you know, every year you kind of want your team partially to be like always talked about, meaning they're in the mix for the draft because it's such an exciting time. Other times you kind of wish you were just a team that was being ignored right now and all the rumors weren't swirling around your team. I think the stress for a lot of Niner fans is through the roof right now. So it's pretty wild. Kyle yesterday and John had their, I guess, pre-draft press conference, which I thought was a little weird to begin with. But they took a bunch of questions. They kind of talked about just like where things are today, which didn't really give a lot of information. There was a lot of like misdirection and clues that were given out. I don't know. It was kind of weird. Maybe I think honestly, like afterwards, after digesting everything, it was kind of picturing Kyle with a cigar kicked back, laughing at the world just completely crumbling around him. Everybody screaming and yelling, and they're going to do this, they're not going to do this, giving, you know, maybe doing a favor for the beat writers and NFL Network. But it was pretty wild. So I'll go through, you know, two of the major things that I think I took out of yesterday, mainly. Obviously, Kyle's press conference, you know, Kyle and John, but Kyle kind of ran it. And then the other one being Mike McGlinchey, that was kind of leaked out by Lynch, that they're going to pick up his fifth-year options. So let's get into it. Kyle's press conference. So the biggest takeaway I got from there was Jimmy Garoppolo's a goner. He's not going to be here this season. I don't take anything away from that press conference thinking otherwise. The quote that was direct was, "I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive on Sunday, so I can't guarantee he'll be on our roster Sunday." One of the weirder quotes I think I've heard. You know, we've heard it all the time, but very easily, you know, the message has changed the last month, right? It was, you know, we've talked to Jimmy, he's in our plans this year, like all this stuff. And now he's basically saying like, no, like I'm opening that back door to walk through the minute that we take our quarterback at pick three. So definitely weird. Well, not weird, but just kind of weird how their tone changed, right? You could have just said that. I get it. You know, you're trying to create trade value and trying to do all these things, but now it's just a matter of time, in my opinion, on when he's dealt, the value that they can get, what teams are interested in him. That's what they're probably doing, you know, today and tomorrow. I wholeheartedly believe that they know who they're picking at three, barring something weird happening with the Jets at two. But my guess is they have a deal worked out with another team or two if that team doesn't get their guy in the first round. So hypothetically, let's say Denver does not get Lance, Fields, or Mac Jones. They probably have a deal worked out for a second or third round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. I think it's as simple and clear as day at that. I don't know who it's with. I don't know like what the comp's going to be, obviously, but it's pretty clearly worked out that they have a few contingency plans set up. You know, they obviously know they're getting a quarterback, but it's going to depend on a few other teams that are probably Jimmy's their plan B. That would be my guess if I was a betting man. So the next thing, you know, it seems like Mac Jones is the leading horse. Tim Kawakami from The Athletic had an awesome article, I thought, last night. My biggest takeaway from it, he kind of outlined everything. And the one thing that scares me the most with Kyle is, you know, did you really need to go up to pick three if Mac Jones is the pick to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room? I'm personally still not totally convinced it's Mac Jones. I think everybody's reading tea leaves. Everybody's grasping at stories, and they want to be right. I mean, if we've seen anything in the media and social media the last, like, 18 months, is people have to take a strong stand. They want to be out on the ledge. They want to be right so they can claim, oh, I was right 2 weeks ago. I called this a month ago. But nobody's ever held accountable, so, like, what does it really matter, right? I think everything is lining up. Vegas has the odds, Mac Jones. Most analysts, you know, kind of look at like how Mac Jones has played and they think that style translates really well. Again, I don't see it. I don't think they had to get up to three to get him. I don't think he's the best prospect. You know, I covered this in a few previous podcasts and YouTubes. So, however, if it is Mac Jones, I think it's a major reach. You know, you look at all these guys that come from the scouting community, Daniel Jeremiah, who I think is one of the best out there. I think has Mac Jones's 32nd best prospects. Like, yeah, I get it, positional value, and it's a need, and these and that, and this and that, but I'm not taking that guy at three. It's just not happening. So if they do take Mac Jones, and if it hits, I hope I'm proved wrong, right? I hope that we have the greatest quarterback evaluator of all time, best since Bill Walsh, right? You know, someone trading up and getting Joe Montana, and nobody really had him where they picked him. I hope that's the case. But, you know, I kind of said it on Twitter this morning, and people freaked out, but here's my like take on it, and here's what I've been kind of saying for the past couple weeks. Yes, Kyle Shanahan is one of the best young top offensive minds in the NFL. He's only getting better as well. He's young. He's early 40s. Yes, I like and I support Kyle Shanahan as head coach of the 49ers. I remember the Chip Kelly days, the Mike Nolan days, the Mike Singletary days. So my point is like, well, what's the alternative, right? I don't see another coach out there that they could easily just be like, you know what, like Kyle's not the guy. Let's hand it over to our quarterback coach or the up-and-coming guy or whatever. Like if it was that easy, you would just replace everybody, you know, that doesn't win a Super Bowl. But I think people also, my point being, need to slow down with the talk that, you know, he's just like given this Bill Walsh status. Even his dad's status, he's won two Super Bowls. Like, the talk has been with this Mac Jones stuff, you know, and I get it compared to a lot of other minds in the NFL. Like, this is kind of where he ranks, right? It's always graded on a curve. But this talk that, like, whoever he selects will be successful and just spin and turn to gold immediately is kind of ridiculous, to be honest. Like, his system, he became an offensive coordinator in 2008 with the Houston Texans. Since then, so basically every year since then, 13 seasons, he has run the offense. It's been his baby. I get it when you're an OC, things are out of control, blah, 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 whatever. My point being, in 13 seasons, he's had three top 10 offenses. So he's had the 2012 RG3 year with the Redskins. He's had the 2016 Falcons year where they went to the Super Bowl and had the epic letdown in the Super Bowl. And then 2 years ago, the 2019 49ers. Like, that's just facts, man. Like, you know, you can say a bunch of different things, right? Oh, it takes 2 years to pick up Kyle Shanahan's system. It, you know, quarterback's out of his control. Sometimes he didn't have the authority to pick his guy. Totally get it. Very valid. All these things. But the fact still remains, 3 out of 13 years he's had a top 10 offense. It's not like this guy, like Sean Payton, year in, year out, top 5 offense, top 10 offense for like 15 years running. That's just, the proof is in the pudding. So let's just slow down a little bit. You know, I don't understand why this, like, all these evaluators and media heads are saying, like, Mac Jones, if he goes there, like, don't worry. Like, whoever they take is going to turn into a Pro Bowler and a multiple-time Super Bowl winning quarterback. I'm not going to just roll over and go to that conclusion. So that's kind of been my point this whole time. I wanted to, you know, put it out there and say it. The next thing that we kind of got out of it off of this Mac Jones thing, because nobody knows what's happening, right, is the re-signing of Mike McGlinchey. Last year, McGlinchey struggled. The whole team struggled, right? When you have injuries, it, you know, it's a trickle-down effect. Your center gets hurt, it affects the guard. Guard gets hurt, it affects the tackle, tight ends. Like, everything is connected, right? But last year, he had a second overall run blocking grade, which was awesome, right? Like, he kicked major ass. He was 62nd out of 75, though, when it came to pass blocking. Major, major liability. I can't tell you how many times in pressures he allowed when you're watching the game that, you know, McGlinchey just gets beat, man. He gets beat by strength. He gets beat by speed. He is just a big, tall dude. So when he can go forward and he can drive into people, he moves a lot, right? Like, he moves people. When he has to sit back and he has to be the one who reacts, which is pass blocking, it's a different story. So right now, he's being fairly compensated, in my opinion, right? He's a first-round pick. He's still on his rookie deal. I think this year he'll be the 15th largest, like, salary cap hit for a right tackle. The problem, in my opinion, is picking up his fifth-year option. That jumps up significantly. And I think he's slated right now, barring any new contracts or what's going to happen, to be a top 5 or 6 paid right tackle in 2022. So not this upcoming year, 2 years from now. pretty simply, like, his play is just hasn't reflected that, right? I think especially in the passing game, like, he's a major liability. Last year, if he plays that way again, it affects the entire offense. It requires a tight end to stay in the block. It requires maybe you're not able to do more 5-7 step drops. Play actions get a little bit more difficult. Can you roll to the right? Whether your tackle getting blown backwards. Do you have to keep a running back in the block or use check? You know, a lot of these guys, like, they're on the field, like, yeah, they're great blockers, but, like, you want Juszczyk and Kittle, like, going out for passes, right? Like, that's what makes the offense so dynamic. We saw it in the Super Bowl. Like, George Kittle had to stay in and block in the Super Bowl. Like, he was not being targeted, like, as he should have been, right? So that's one less guy out on a route. In my opinion, it's a $10, $12 million, like, trickle-down effect. And I just don't love it, man. Like, yes, the cap is going to go back up, but at the same time, you have some major, major contracts coming down the pipeline with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa, who are about to get paid. So, plain and simple, like, this is a major gamble, in my opinion. I think you could have used that second or third round pick on a tackle. You also could have traded. You can sign a veteran or two if you really need to, especially if you're moving Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, there's $26 million off your books, so I think there was other avenues. I get it. He's young. It's hard to find tackles. You have a lot invested in this guy. He's a top 10 pick, but he has to return to 2019 form where he was a little bit more balanced. Like, he wasn't as dominant in the run game. However, he wasn't as big of a liability in the passing game. So for this to work out, for this to basically, like, match up with what the spend is going to be and the guarantees there, like, he's got to play better. So, and for this offense to rock and roll, it's huge. So that's come out. Quick little Tuesday rant here about 48 hours from the draft. Those are the two major things that came out of yesterday. Follow me on Twitter. Been going kind of bonkers lately with the draft approaching. I'm at Vinny Levine 29. Subscribe, rate, drop comments, review. Talk soon. Later.